This is Leo Babieux for Two Harbors Community Radio. I have on the phone with me, and for transparency's sake, we're talking on Tuesday afternoon, August 3rd, for a broadcast that's happening on Wednesday, August 4th. I have Lisa Hansen with me, who's the Director of Health and Human Services for Lake County. Welcome to the program, Lisa.
Thank you, Leo.
You know, it's been many, many months, I think 16 plus months, that COVID-19 and pandemic and response to that has all been in the mix for people across the country. It came a little slower to Lake County, but it really got us. And like many county officials across the country, you've been right in the midst of this, and you probably have a small but powerful staff working with you on this for these many months. You've been sharing with us, those of us in the media, people at, say, the North Shore Journal, myself and some others, you've been sharing about the status of all things COVID on a weekly basis. I know that it's primarily prepared for the county board, but I just wanted to give you props on just how helpful this information sheet has been on a weekly basis, Lisa.
I appreciate that. It's helpful for us, too, to put things in context when we look back at the history of what COVID has looked like for our residents in Lake County.
And for folks that aren't able to take this in, and it's not something we just read like a list of things in the grocery store. I mean, there is a lot of information covered on a weekly basis, Lisa, and we sometimes hit the highlights for the listeners. You're sharing information about confirmed number of new cases of COVID-19, hospitalizations, deaths, active cases, the progress of our public health vaccination campaigns, what we've achieved for vaccination rates for different demographics, information about upcoming clinics and the state of the current health guidance, and all these new issues we have continued to face in our response to the pandemic. And now we have another one in terms of our recent uptick in cases that we're sure not alone in the country, but I think it may have surprised some of us that Lake County early on last week got identified as one of 14 counties that met a new CDC criteria for specific guidance on masking. Can you describe what happened there and where we stand today, Lisa, in terms of that meeting that criteria for that guidance?
Well, I think it took a lot of people off guard, including public health here in Lake County. We certainly didn't learn of that in advance, and we heard about it on the evening news like the rest of the nation. And there's a lot of confusion around the latest guidance that came out of that designation, even for those of us that work in public health. So from the beginning of the pandemic, we've encouraged people to follow the guidance issued by the CDC and the Minnesota Department of Health, and we continue to do so. That said, we do have some concerns about the way the CDC determines the level of transmission in a county, specifically that the only factors that are being considered are the number of cases per 100,000 in a 7-day period and the test positivity rate in a 7-day period. So in counties with smaller populations like Lake County, that means that just a handful of cases will result in us having the designation of substantial or high transmission. And that can be misleading because factors like vaccination rates and population density are not part of the equation.
Yes, we all know that with a small enough sample size, which you get with a smaller population rural county, the more each individual incidence is to these calculations. But we do live not in isolation, so we know we have neighbors in adjoining counties and that we have transmission going on there. I think we understand what some of the dynamics are of unvaccinated people spreading the illness to other unvaccinated people, and now the breakthrough cases, right, that are not sure in super high proportion, but we now know that vaccinated people get COVID-19, even though they're mild cases that aren't subject to getting them hospitalized, but it's just adding the number of possible new infections. And as I understand it, Lisa, and this is one of the things I think that leads to all of this concern, is that the longer we keep a high circulating number of cases of the virus going, the more likely we are to spin off something other than the Delta variant, which has become the big concern now, is that the Delta variant is so spreadable. We don't know what else could be spawned from continuing to have high levels of infection. So I guess there's a lot of cause for concern, and the CDC issued this guidance, and it's telling us that if people aren't going to get vaccinated, perhaps they need to be masked.
Yeah, that's correct. It's still true to say that breakthrough cases are very rare. But the science that's driving this latest guidance, as I understand it, is that we now know that people who are fully vaccinated can transmit the virus as well.
Right.
So that's the new science that led to this change in guidance.
what it leads us with is guidance saying that everyone, regardless of vaccination status, if they're in an area with this level of transmission, should be masked. And the challenge is what's going to happen to that guidance? Because you got to help me here a little bit, Lisa. We don't have the likelihood of any entity, whether the governor's office, legislature, county, a department of the executive branch of the government, mandating this. So we are left to wonder what is our guidance and what should we be doing in our own localities? We face this as a tiny radio station micro business. What is our policy approach to this? Are you aware of any changes happening out there? It's not clear that if you go about your business in Lake County that you'll see much of any signage telling you that maybe you should be masked.
I don't expect to see another mask mandate. I think that at this point, we have to encourage people to use common sense and judgment and consider their own personal risk factors and the risk factors that exist within their families and immediate circles of friends. I do feel like we need to put this in perspective a little bit. We were very concerned when we saw our cases go from 0 to 4, then to 8 in a week. We were relieved this week that the number of cases did not go up and stayed stable at 8 again. Any increase is concerning, but at this point, we do need to acknowledge that we're still in a far better place than we were last November when we saw 60 to 110 cases each week for several weeks. And at that point, nobody was vaccinated. Now nearly 70% of the eligible population here in Lake County has received at least one dose of the vaccine. So we're in a very different place. But you're correct in your statement earlier that the longer we have the virus being transmitted in our communities and our country and the nation, the more likely it is that a vaccine-resistant strain could develop. And that then puts everyone back to square one. Nobody has any protection at that point. So we need to take it seriously, but we also need to look at surrounding factors and not be causing unnecessary fear and anxiety.
Well, that it does lead to the challenge of someone who takes this guidance to heart to mean that they should be masking if they wind up finding themselves in. And the guidance is specific to indoor public spaces, as I understand it. Isn't that correct, Lisa?
Correct.
So when you go into a supermarket or a hardware store and you decide that you're taking this guidance to heart and you're wearing your mask, you may be the only person in that venue wearing it. So it makes you wonder, is this really a functional guidance or is this really falling on deaf ears? And do we need to have a further conversation as a country about what we should be doing? I suppose it begs the question of how we can get more people vaccinated primarily, because that seems to be the single best defense to shutting down the potential for COVID to continue to spread and perhaps mutate.
Absolutely. At this point, you know, the increase in cases, the increase in hospitalizations is being driven by people who are unvaccinated. If we could get everybody who is eligible to be vaccinated, I don't think we'd be having this conversation about who needs to wear a mask and when and in what counties. I think we'd be in a far better place, and we definitely have the ability to get there if we can all pull together and work to put an end to the pandemic.
Are you finding that any private parties, businesses, people who are organizers of public events, are they trying to consult you through Health and Human Services and the Public Health Department of the county to ask, well, what should we be doing? And are you able to give them clear advice right now?
You know, we're confused ourselves, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, because we're struggling to wrap our heads around what this means. When this started, as you mentioned, we were one of 14 counties. I believe that's over 40 in the state of Minnesota now, and nationwide, this guidance applies to almost 80%, but not 100%. And that's going to change probably on a weekly basis. If this is truly the start of another surge that we're seeing now, and we'll know that in another few weeks, I think pretty soon that guidance is going to apply across the board, which would actually eliminate some of the confusion and a lot of the questions surrounding that. Yeah. We are getting more calls of people looking for guidance on what does this mean, and hearing more frustration too in that, yes, I can ask people to wear masks, but probably the only people who are going to will be people who are already vaccinated, and those that are unvaccinated are going to continue coming in to my place of business or to my event without a mask anyway. So it's a difficult place that we're in right now.
When you put it that way, it is clearly a challenge to anybody who's a proprietor of an establishment, doesn't really want to exclude a significant portion of their business. only in a really small business can we set some rules for who's going to be in our space and enforce them. And we're not even talking about the public in the case of our radio station. So I can understand how challenging it must be for almost every small business. I'm also thinking that with large events like our county fair and maybe some other local festivals or celebrations coming up yet this summer, as far as you're aware, are they going to be affected in any way? And if so, how?
We're certainly hoping nobody is affected. As I alluded to earlier, we'll probably have a much better idea in another couple of weeks whether or not this really is the start of a surge in Minnesota and in the County of Lake. So we're hoping that our numbers either stay stable or go back down and that this won't become even more concerning to people. As far as the fair goes, I think the majority of their activities are outdoors. So
yes,
they are probably going to be unaffected by this latest guidance.
It does occur to me to ask, we talk about what's happening at large in the country with the Delta variant. Have we had enough cases where there have been samples available to have the sequencing of the virus checked to see whether we've had Delta cases confirmed in any of the Lake County cases?
There is one confirmed case of the Delta variant in Lake County, and there could very well be additional cases that are the Delta variant. They don't sequence every sample. So
that helps.
We can't say with any certainty what percentage are the Delta variant. We can say in general that in the state and in the nation, the prevalence of the Delta variant is increasing.
I know this week's update from your office is just out. I haven't had a chance to absorb whether, are we seeing, again, increasing levels of people getting tested in the given week? I know you said that we maintained 8 new cases for 2 weeks consecutively. Have we seen more testing? Is the positivity rate stable?
Unfortunately, the test positivity rate is something that is not reported promptly each week.
Okay.
So we don't have current numbers for about the past 3 weeks. But if I had to guess, I would say that number has gone up as the cases have gone up.
Okay. When we were talking about what might happen with, you know, large local public events, it occurs to me as well that one of the biggest areas of concern, of course, with COVID has been how it's affected our public school system. And we're just days or a week or so away from our varsity players for fall sports starting their preseason training. So it brings up the whole question of COVID school issues that are maybe going to loom pretty large again in our minds. Are you in consultation with the Lake Superior School District, your office, and even perhaps Minnesota Department of Health about recommendations for the opening of school? Are things moving so fast and so uncertain that there are no clear changes in mind yet? Had been planning for an all in-person school model, and that's probably still on, but what about the issue of masking and how that might be addressed?
Sure. We have started up regular meetings with school district staff again in preparation for the coming school year, and district administration will ultimately make the decision about what school will look like with input from local public health and the Minnesota Department of Health, as well as the Minnesota Department of Education. Because things are changing quickly again, I don't believe there's any firm decisions about masks. I think the plan is still at this point to have in-person learning, unless and until we get to a point where that's determined it's no longer safe. And that's certainly a goal of everyone, is to make sure we don't get to that point again.
Indeed.
So when it comes to masking, whether it's in the community or in school or in your day-to-day affairs, wearing a mask isn't difficult. And if that means that students are more likely to have a quote-unquote normal-looking school year, I think it's a small price for any of us to pay and a small sacrifice to make. So I'm certainly hoping that students can have a normal school year this year.
Well, we have some sense, I don't know, all the different ways we learn about the number of students in the 12-plus age group that are eligible for, say, the Pfizer, and that's the only one that's available, right, for 12 to 18-year-olds is the Pfizer vaccine. If we have any sense of how significant the rate of children in that group getting vaccinated has been.
So these are estimates.
Sure.
Only, and this is what I'm reporting in the vaccine demographics that I'm sending out to you occasionally. So right now in the 12 to 15 age group, we would need to vaccinate approximately 103 more people to get to 70%. And in the 16 to 17 age group, we would have to vaccinate approximately 49 more people to get to 70% of those populations.
Okay.
So we've got a ways to go with our student population, and we're certainly encouraging everyone age 12 and up to get vaccinated before school starts. And we've planned a vaccine clinic that's geared around back to school time, with the first dose clinic being on August 11th and the second dose clinic on September 1st, which corresponds with the school open houses.
And that gives just enough time for the period between the two vaccine doses.
Yeah.
Excellent. And Lisa, I know the county public health has doubled down even when the take rate for vaccines being offered went dramatically down. Your office has kept at it, and you've been having walk-in clinics right there in your department offices. And I think there's one more coming up. Could you speak to how that's gone so far, what you've been doing and how it's gone?
Sure. This Thursday from 2 to 4 will be our third weekly walk-in clinic at Health and Human Services in Two Harbors. And the first week we vaccinated 17 people, which far exceeded our expectations based on what we had been seeing. We thought we'd probably be lucky if we got 3 or 4 people.
Right.
So we were thrilled when 17 people showed up. Okay. And we vaccinated 20 people this past week, which was great. We were happy to be able to do that. And we've got 20 more doses of vaccine that we're going to be using up, we hope, this Thursday.
Okay.
So there's never really been a prolonged period of time where people have been without an option to get vaccinated here in Lake County. And when there have been brief periods of time, we've referred people to other places in the region like Duluth.
Indeed, because we don't have those big pharmacy outlets. I've been wondering what was next for Lake County residents. And so, Lisa, that's pretty impressive for those walk-in clinics, which were being offered, but we weren't clear at all on what people's response might be. So I'm pretty impressed and encouraged by that, and wanted to just tell you how much it means to have your department working so hard. Are you in the process of hiring another public health nurse, by the way? I know it's been quite a demand on the folks in your office, and I see that the county has had a public health nurse being advertised.
Yes, we are in the process. In fact, we just interviewed last week for
okay.
a public health nurse, and we're hoping to fill that position and have someone on board soon. We've also been fortunate that when we have been short-staffed in public health, we've had previous public health nurses that were employed by Lake County step up and offer to contract with us as they have time to do so. So we've been able to continue providing our regular services as well as have some help with our COVID-19 response. So we've had Louise Anderson, who is well-known in the community and was
Indeed.
Our previous community health yeah. board administrator, helping out specifically with the long-term care. And we've had both Sarah Preston and Molly Gadsby, who were employed here at Lake County previously, come back to help us out as well. And that has been crucial, as has all the support we've gotten from our many volunteers in the vaccination effort.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out. It seemed like people just stepped right up. I mean, there was almost no hesitation. People understood the importance of it. And I'm pleased to live in a place where the people stepped up in that way. And thanks so much in general for all the coordination that I'm hearing has gone on through your offices, Lisa. And I hope by the end of this month we have a clearer path forward. And I know that you're going to be keeping us in the loop. And so I'm grateful for that. So I'd like to just thank you for joining us today. We'll see you down the road, and maybe we'll be talking about other public health and health and human services issues when we have you back on the air. That would be nice.
I look forward to that. Thanks so much, Leo.
You take care now.
You too.
That's Lisa Hansen, who is the director of our Lake County Health and Human Services Department. This is Leo for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio at 99.5 FM, ktwh.org online.